The following announcement has been paid for by Perched on the Top Rope.
What's up, guys? This is the Murder Hawk Monster, Lance Archer, and you are watching Perched on the Top Rope. And watch out, because I'll chokeslam you on the way down.
Welcome, everyone, to Perched on the Top Rope. I am your host, former Dirt Sheet writer from Ringside News, the Sportster, the Richest, and Sports Kita. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Lee Walker, and this is your AEW All In Predictions show. So, let's talk about AEW real quick. Some big surprises coming out of AEW already, with Fightful Select saying that Ricochet has signed a multi-year deal with the company, and we can expect him to be in some sort of way, in some sort of capacity, part of this amazing event tomorrow, Sunday, August 25th, which for you people in the States, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, as the pay-per-view is taking place in London, England. So we can expect Ricochet. There's also a heavy, heavy rumor that Taylor Swift in some sort of way could be part of AEW's All In, and that had to do with the fact that apparently she used to babysit Jeff Jarrett's children. Yep, you heard that right, folks. Taylor Swift used to babysit Jeff Jarrett's kids, and apparently Jeff Jarrett and her are in some sort of way still talk to each other, have some sort of communication still. So could we see Taylor Swift? I'm going to say highly unlikely. I don't think that's going to be a thing. If it is, it's because she's sitting in the crowd. Now, it was known that she was, and I quote, touring the stadium, and she had been seen by people, and that's how this report had all started, and the tie-in with Jeff Jarrett. So, be on the lookout. We could have Taylor Swift at AEW All In. Now, there's also the rumor that has spread that Shane McMahon is also All Elite. That's right, you heard me, a McMahon to be All Elite, as there was a meeting between Shane McMahon and Tony Khan, and there was a photo that went around the internet of the two of them at the meeting, and to add fuel to the fire, Mercedes Moné said she's the one that took the photo. I personally think Shane McMahon would be a big help and asset to a struggling AEW. Yes, AEW is struggling, no matter how you put it. For last year's All In for 2023, it was, 81,000 tickets? Wembley Stadium this year for All In is 52,000 tickets sold for the event. And in America, it's been a struggle with ticket sales. It is what it is. And speaking of that, the announcement for All In will be in Texas for 2025. But England, don't fret. Don't get mad. Don't twist your knickers in a bunch. For 2025, AEW will be back in London with AEW's and New Japan Pro Wrestling's Forbidden Door. That's rather exciting. I, for one, think that AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling's Forbidden Door would do better in London than it would here in the States. Mainly because I think more people in the UK would be more inclined to watch New Japan Pro Wrestling than us here in the States. I might be biased about that, but that's just my own personal opinion. And another real cool thing, this year's AEW All In 1 in 3,000 that you can get on AEW Shop is Will Ospreay. Last year it was Jamie Hayter. This year it's Will Ospreay. I got the Jamie Hayter. So I also got the Will Ospreay this year. Really cool. Awesome figure. Can't wait for it to come. But since we're talking about All In, let's do our predictions for AEW's All In. Now, for the pre-show, we have a mixed tag team match. Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway taking on Willow Nightingale and Tomohiro Ishii. Now, the winning team will choose the stipulation of the match between Nightingale and Statlander at All Out. Now, this match came about when Statlander turned on Willow Nightingale and Stokely went with Chris Statlander, with obviously Statlander turning heel. And in this match, I would think that the heels would win, being Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway, picking the stipulation to the match to better benefit Statlander. And then at All Out, you have Nightingale defeat Statlander in her own match. So with that theory in my head, I'm going to go with Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway winning and picking the stipulation for All Out. Now the next match is the four-way London ladder match for the AEW Trios Championship, which is the patriarchy of Christian Cage, Killswitch, aka Luchasaurus, and Nick Wayne, the champions. They will be with Mother Wayne, by the way. We have the Bang Bang Gang of Juice Robinson and the Guns, Austin and Colton Gunn. We have the House of Black, Malachi Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews. And we have Pac and the Blackpool Combat Club of Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta. Now, the switch in this match when it comes to the Blackpool Combat Club with Pac is that the rumors have been going around that Rey Fénix and Pentagon are going to go to WWE. They were originally supposed to be in this match, and obviously things change. Now more people are on the, you know, there's more here than meets the eye. I would not expect Pac and the Blackpool Combat Club to win this match. As a result of that, the Bang Bang Gang, they're going to be your spot monkeys. And what I mean by that is they're going to be the ones that I feel are going to take the biggest spots in matches here with the ladder. In the House of Black, I would say it comes down to the House of Black and the patriarchy. AEW just recently re-signed Buddy Matthews, so their push has been started, stop, just like a lot of others here. So I would personally say that the patriarchy does not win the match, in that the House of Black wins, and we start to see the fall. That's right, the fall of the patriarchy. So that's my prediction, and new AEW World Trios Champions, the House of Black. We have a three-way tag team match for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. Your champions, the proud-to-be part-timers, the Young Bucks of Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, is they will take on FTR, Cash Wheeler, and Dax Harwood. And the Acclaimed, Anthony Bowens, Max Caster, and the badass WWE Hall of Famer, Billy Gunn. Now, this match has been exciting. It's really brought life to the AEW tag team division, considering that there hasn't been life in the AEW tag team division. FTR prides themselves as being one of the best tag teams in the world, and you can't really do that when your tag team champions are working as part-timers. And the Acclaimed, they are great. Max on the mic is awesome. Billy Gunn at 61, 62 years old, looking ripped and juicy and jacked and tan. My God! To look like that. By the way, he's got some big fucking hands. If you ever see him at a meet and greet, tell him that. He will laugh his ass off. Trust me, I do it every time I meet him. But if I'm going to put my money where my mouth is at DraftKings, betting on AEW, I'm going to say that the Young Bucks retain here. I think there's going to be more in store for them as a tag team. I would say, if not FTR, because then the tag team championships will be on television weekly, and, you know, there'll be more tag team matches as a result, because FTR is not a part-time tag team like the Young Bucks. Now, the next match is the Casino Gauntlet Battle Royal. And there are quite a few names in this. On August 23rd of AEW Rampage, Roderick Strong declared himself in the Casino Gauntlet match. We also have Hangman Page, Orange Cassidy, Mark Briscoe, Kyle O'Reilly in the match, in which a guaranteed world title shot is on the line. Now, Cassidy won a three-way match to ensure that he would enter the gauntlet first. Why you want to enter first is beyond me, but okay. Evil Uno was said to be in the match, but he was attacked on AEW Dynamite this week, so it's unclear if he'll actually be participating in the match or not. So, you know, this match is a hard one to predict, but, you know, based off the, you know, six names that they've listed in it, you can almost guarantee that those six in some sort of way are going to be part of the end of the match, to which if that's going to be the case. Mark Briscoe's already a champion. Hangman Page has already been AEW World Champion, and that did not go well. The booking was extremely bad. He was barely seen on TV. Everyone's hyped for his matches, but then when it comes time to a feud, it was a lackluster. So I'm going to say Orange Cassidy wins this thing. I'm going to say Orange Cassidy wins the Casino Gauntlet match. Now we have a last chance match for the FTW Championship, to which if Hook loses, he can never challenge for the championship as long as Chris Jericho is the champion. That's right. It is Chris Jericho versus Hook. Now, I'm not going to lie, this match really doesn't do anything for me. I don't know if it's because I'm not a fan of Chris Jericho anymore. Credit to what he can do. He's able to reinvent himself to stay relevant and be part of the product. But this whole nice tree, gimmick tree, whatever the hell it is, it's not over with me. The whole fake happy persona, it's not for me. That's okay. Fans, things can not be good in your eyes, and you can speak about it. You're allowed to do so. It's your First Amendment right. If you don't like something, you can say it. If someone has a problem with it, that's their problem. As long as you don't go on a personal attack or rant or anything like that. I didn't personally attack Chris Jericho. I'm just saying it's not for me. Hook. Fans were hot on him. I'm really not. But, you know, I feel like this is a championship that it doesn't really matter. It's not an official AEW championship, just like it wasn't an official ECW championship. It's Hook wins. I'm going to leave it at that. We have a coffin match for the AEW TNT Championship, which is something that's really cool. Posted on Reels on Instagram at Perched on the Top Rope Podcast and our Facebook, facebook.com/perchedonthetoprope. Jack Perry, that's right, the scapegoat Jack Perry, made his own TNT Championship. It was really cool. He did a video, and that's what the reel is, so you can go watch it. It was really cool to see. You know, he showed the whole process. He, you know, stripped the belt. I'm pretty sure he reused the same belt itself, but, like, did his own side plates and middle plate and everything, and it looked really, really cool. And at first I wasn't a fan, but then when I saw him make it, I said, okay, that's really cool. And Darby Allin, he's had his own TNT championship as well. But, ladies and gentlemen, the reason behind this match and starting the feud between the two was that Double or Nothing, Darby Allin joined Team AEW against the Elite. But Team AEW was defeated by the Elite in an Anarchy in the Arena match, a match in which Allin set Elite member Jack Perry on fire with a flamethrower. After taking a brief hiatus, Allin returned on July 10th to AEW Dynamite and attacked Elite member Brandon Cutler to send a warning to the Elite. Allin again joined Team AEW against the Elite for the Blood and Guts match at AEW Dynamite Blood and Guts. Team AEW won by way of Allin causing Team Elite to forfeit by threatening to set Perry on fire, who Allin handcuffed to the cage while simultaneously making the Elite agree to give him a match against Perry for the AEW TNT Championship at All In. After a backstage brawl, that's right, a backstage brawl took place on August 14th episode of AEW Dynamite, where Perry declared he would defend the title against Allin in a coffee match, which was then made official. I'm going to say Jack Perry wins this match. Darby Allin can go away, heal up. Probably not, though. He seems like he's pretty crazy and likes to do death-defying stunts outside of professional wrestling as well. But he should go home, heal up, because this would be a perfect opportunity to push him into the next level, into the main event level, like where he was with Sting, I would say, at one point. And then he can come back and have opportunities at the AEW World Championship. Now our next match is for the AEW TBS Championship, as the champion Mercedes Moné with Camille will be defending against Dr. Britt Baker DMD. Now, this all started after Mercedes Moné retained the AEW TBS Championship at Forbidden Door, where she simultaneously won the New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Women's Championship as well. Monet's celebration was interrupted by the returning Dr. Britt Baker DMD, who had been out since September 2023. On the following Dynamite, Baker explained that she had been out for 10 months due to a diagnosis of a transient asthmatic attack. She was then interrupted by Monet, after which Baker challenged Monet to a championship match at All In, but Monet declined. However, there was another confrontation between the two during AEW's panel at San Diego Comic-Con on July 25th, to which Tony Khan made the match official for Monet to defend the TBS championship against Baker at All In. Now, they just had a contract signing on Dynamite this past Wednesday, to which Baker is hot and ready. I would love to see her be the TBS champion, but I don't think that AEW is done catering to Mercedes Moné. So I think she's going to keep the title, but I wouldn't be surprised if Jamie Hayter makes a return to save Britt Baker from a beatdown after the match. Calling it now, folks. And in our co-main event, we have the AEW Women's World Championship, Timeless Toni Storm, taking on the Glamour, Mariah May. Now, this feud all starts back at the Owen Hart Cup. That's right, you heard me correctly. It starts all the way back at the Owen Hart Cup, which the Owen Hart Cup is an annual professional wrestling tournament held with AEW in partnership with the Owen Hart Foundation in honor of Owen Hart. It consists of two single elimination tournaments for men and for women. The winners get a trophy called the Owen, as well as a commemorative championship belt. Now, it was at Double or Nothing on May 26 when AEW's president Tony Khan and Owen's widow Martha announced that the 2024 Cup winners would also earn a championship match at All In. Both tournament finals occurred on July 10th episode of Dynamite in Owen's hometown of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Now, for the women's, the tournament was won by Mariah May. After losing the AEW Women's World Championship at Dynamite 200 in August 2023, Toni Storm had underwent a shift in character. This new persona, the Golden Age of Hollywood starlet, very, very cool. She has her butler, Luther. And they had Mariah May build as a super fan to Storm. And then Storm later took her under her wing as an understudy. Storm would regain the AEW Women's Championship at Full Gear later that month, but subsequently at Revolution in March 2024, May took on Storm's old rockstar gimmick. Throughout the following months, Storm and May's relationship developed with romantic overtones, and as a gift, Storm entered May in the Owen Hart Cup. May would go on to defeat the 2023 winner, Willow Nightingale, in the tournament final to earn a match against Storm for the AEW World Championship at All In. After the match, May turned on Storm, hitting her with the Owen Hart Cup Championship belt and bloodying her in the process. I mean, there was quite a bit of blood. So we would see a shift in Mariah May's character to more of a Eve Harrington of the 1950s All About Eve. And hence, we have the Glamour, Mariah May. So that's what has led up to this feud. Storm thought she was doing a good thing, and it ended up biting her in the ass. That's the long story short of that. Personally, I would like to see Toni Storm retain the championship, but I feel like Mariah May is going to win this and the feud's going to continue. So I'm going to say and new AEW Women's World Champion, the Glamour Mariah May. Now that leaves us to the main event, title versus career match. The AEW World Championship is on the line, but so isn't someone's career. As Swerve Strickland, the AEW World Champion, with Prince Nana, will be taking on Bryan Danielson, title versus career. Now, this is a big deal. As I just went over the rules and everything to the Owen Hart Cup and everything that could go along with winning, this year's winner of the Owen Hart Cup was Bryan Danielson. Danielson made his debut at the 2021 All Out and previously had challenged for the AEW World Championship at Revolution in 2023. He was unsuccessful in both bouts. In a backstage interview following Dynamite, Danielson teased a possibility of a retirement storyline. He said that the championship match made him realize he was putting wrestling ahead of his family. And on September 9th, 2023, an episode of AEW Collision, Danielson confirmed that in 2024, that would be the end of his full-time wrestling career. Throughout the following year, Danielson would suffer a losing streak in marquee matches that included losing the 2023 Continental Championship Tournament and high-profile losses in matches at New Japan Pro Wrestling's Wrestle Kingdom 18 and AEW's Dynasty, and had been on the losing team of Anarchy in the Arena match at Double or Nothing. As a result of this losing streak, on an episode of AEW Dynamite on June 6th, Danielson became the first wrestler to declare himself in the 2024 Owen Hart Cup and vowed to go out on top. Danielson would then earn the opportunity to go to the finals and would defeat the one person in the finals that we didn't want because we were really hoping Jeff Jarrett would have beat him in the opening bout of the tournament because Jeff Jarrett and Adam Page had to face each other. And everyone wanted Jeff Jarrett because Jeff Jarrett used to tag team with Owen Hart back in the WWF. It was a great team. Former tag team champions, by the way. He would go on to defeat Hangman Page, who was seeking vengeance against his rival, the AEW champion Swerve Strickland. On an episode of AEW Dynamite on July 31st, Danielson said that if he did not defeat Strickland and win the AEW World Championship at All In, he would never wrestle again. Thus, subsequently, he agreed that the stipulation would be a title versus career match. Now, in recent interviews, Bryan Danielson had said that his son would like to see him win but not get beat up. His daughter would like to see him lose so that he can be home. Ladies and gentlemen, Bryan Danielson has had one hell of a career. I would say it's been a lackluster in AEW, and that's fine. But I'm going to say that he loses this match and retires. Obviously, the idea of being a family man and being home has been something that has been weighing on him for a long time. He has a son. He has a daughter. So I just really, really think that Bryan Danielson's time as a professional wrestler has come to an end, and Swerve Strickland is going to still be the AEW world champion at the end of this. Now, fans, I have a special bonus for you at the end of this episode, which is basically right now. You're going to hear the AEW All In media call with Tony Khan. Fans, remember, spoiler free's the way to be. Here's the media call.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for the opportunity to catch up with Tony Khan ahead of AEW All In London. Once again, live on pay-per-view from Wembley Stadium this Sunday, the 25th of August. We have a great turnout for today's session with Tony, so let's get started. But first, our traditional reminders. Please do not ask two-party questions. It'll make it possible for us to get to as many of you as possible. And we'd appreciate you keeping the topics focused on AEW All In London. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tony for some opening thoughts, and then we're going to open the lines for your questions. Tony, good evening.
Good evening, Jim. Thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'm really excited about this week. This is my absolute favorite week of the year. It's going to be such a great time here in London, and I'm excited to talk to all of you. This is a great part of that week, and I'm excited to get all your questions ahead of the question and answer part of our traditional session here. I did want to address one thing before we begin. I just wanted to address some reports regarding AEW potentially running an event in Australia. We can confirm that we're currently looking at various locations in Australia to potentially run an event sometime next year in 2025. We'll have more information about this in the near future. 2025 is going to be a milestone year. Just as this is a milestone year, I think 2025, even more great milestones to come. I'm excited to talk to you all right now about AEW All In. And in 2025, we just announced All In will be coming to Globe Life Field next July. And I want to thank our partners at Rev Entertainment, Texas Rangers, Mayor Jim Ross, and that Arlington Sports Commission in Texas for helping to make all that possible. It's a really exciting time for us, and excited to talk to all of you about what's to come this week with All In, the AEW All In London at Wembley Stadium, just days away. I thought we had a great debut Dynamite in Europe, our first ever UK Dynamite, our first ever Dynamite outside of North America last night. And I thought it was a tremendous show as a go-home Dynamite ahead of this big pay-per-view weekend. I'm really looking forward to the weekend television also. And of course, the big enchilada that is AEW All In. And with that, Jim, let's start the questions.
Strong start there, Tony. Here we go. Andrew Badala from Final Bell Media will lead us off, and I'm going to ask Joel Torres from Contralona to be on deck. Andrew, you lead us off.
Drew, are you there?
Andrew?
Drew, I think you need to unmute yourself. There you go.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Hey, what's up, Drew?
Hey, Tony, sorry, wouldn't let me unmute myself. Thanks for taking the time. Good luck on Sunday.
Sure.
Congratulations on the over 50,000. I've noticed in recent interviews, you've mentioned that AEW will be back in the UK in 2025. Considering what you just said and the incredible crowd turnout and enthusiastic audiences, especially last night that we've seen in the UK, it seems like the ideal market to bring more events to. With that in mind, is AEW considering bringing a pay-per-view and television back to England in 2025 or the UK?
Certainly on the table. It's definitely something we would consider. I absolutely love the UK. I've spent a lot of my life living in England and specifically in London. And I absolutely love it. It's great being back here, and it's great traveling in the UK. And in this case, it was our first ever AEW show in Wales and the first time we've done TV in the UK at all. It's really exciting. And there are so many great cities throughout the UK. And, you know, I've driven all around London and you know, from Fulham, not only playing all the great teams here in England, but also traveled to Wales for football, you know, many times. And there's lots of great cities all over the UK. And I know from experience in English football, there are a lot of great towns with really passionate fans, and that this is a great place to be. And you see it in wrestling that that crowd last night was just magic, and they were tremendous for Dynamite. And I'm really excited for people to see Collision this weekend with that Cardiff crowd. And it's all a big preview of what's to come this weekend. There's going to be a huge crowd at Wembley Stadium. It's going to be one of the biggest pro wrestling crowds we've ever seen. And it's going to be certainly a historic night for AEW and really, really, really exciting times for us. Not only all the stuff I mentioned leading into this pay-per-view, but what's ahead in 2025. And absolutely, to answer your question, I do think that would be something that would be on the table for 2025, more events in the UK where we've had great success with AEW. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Andrew. Joel Torres from Contralona is next, to be followed by Jason Powell from Pro Wrestling Net. Joel.
Everything is okay. You just mentioned next year's All in Texas. Can we have a background about how this idea came up to? Why Texas after 2 years in a row in London? Obviously, this All in Texas being the first event in a big stadium in the United States. Thank you.
Well, we've had some great experiences. I think some of my greatest experiences as a wrestling promoter, I know some of my greatest experiences as a wrestling promoter have been in Texas. And I thought that that would make a lot of sense. You know, All In is this massive event, and it's been the perfect place for the first 2 years of AEW All In at London Wembley Stadium. We absolutely love it here. This weekend is going to be massive, and it shows the scope of this event. For years, people have asked, when is AEW going to bring a pay-per-view to Texas? And I always wanted to bring a massive event, and we brought the biggest event possible with AEW All In coming July 12, 2025. To Texas. Of course, we're days away from AEW All In 2024, and now fans know what to expect, and I have every expectation we can fill up Globe Life Field, just as we've brought these great crowds here in London. And I think that the way it came about, there's a lot of really great people working here, and for a long time I've wanted to do a pay-per-view in Texas personally, and this made a lot of sense with this opportunity. And Koshe Irby, the COO of AEW and the great live events team here, had this idea. And when I recruited Koshe from Clemson University, where he was the CMO and had past experiences working in wrestling, this was an initiative he felt really strongly about. And it's something I've always wanted to do. As a wrestling historian myself and a wrestling promoter, it means a lot to be able to do that. And I can also confirm now, officially today, as a wrestling promoter in London this weekend, that I'm going to be bringing some of that great Texas tradition here to London this weekend, because I can confirm that the Von Erichs will be here this weekend. And it means so much to me, ahead of a big event like this, to have the Von Erich family here a part of it with us in AEW, because AEW is a family and it's great to have them with us. And going into All In next year, I hope they'll continue working with us. And it's an honor that they had us in their territory, the Von Erichs, and great to have them here at AEW All In London. And looking forward to a big year in Texas next year as well. And all eyes on London this weekend, too. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Joel. Jason Powell from Pro Wrestling Net is next, to be followed by Jim Varsalone from the Miami Herald. Jason.
Recent head here, we'll say. It seems like you're pretty happy with WBD and Max these days. I'm actually curious about the exclusive negotiating window. Did you ever run past that exclusivity period? And if so, how much interest has there been from other potential network and even streaming partners?
It's a very fair question, and I think it's absolutely right for you to ask that. I am in a very exciting time personally and professionally right now with everything happening in AEW. Very excited about the show this weekend, but there's a lot of things happening in the office and meetings offsite and phone calls. And it's an exciting time. And the Warner Brothers Discovery relationship has been very strong for us, including this summer. I was able to go to Paris and spend a lot of quality time with Mr. David Zaslav and Bruce Campbell and the executive team. And there's a really great relationship between AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery, and it's never been stronger. It's really in a great place. And as for the exclusive negotiating or talking to other parties, you know, I prefer not to get into any of that or talk about it. I think we have a really good thing going. And I think we have also, frankly, I believe, I hope, AEW a good relationship with the wrestling media. At least I try my best to be accessible and talk about things when we can. But right now with the company in an exciting time where, you know, there's been a lot of reports, a lot of things said, but I do think everybody is starting to get a sense that there's a lot of excitement around AEW as a hot property. It was the number one show on television last Wednesday night on all of cable and satellite, and has continued to you know, really not only perform strongly as a television product, but also continue to create huge new revenue streams and opportunities, and also that has just been having great shows and on a string of really, I think, great TV shows. I'm really proud of this run of Dynamites. I think since Forbidden Door leading into Wembley, the TV has been excellent, in my opinion. I'm really proud of it. And I think there's been a lot of great pay-per-views and a lot of great shows this year. And I know that AEW All In this weekend is going to be absolutely tremendous. So as a wrestling promoter and a creative person in wrestling, I'm very excited about what's happening in AEW, but as a business person, also very excited about growing this business, because we have great opportunities out there, and we're very blessed to work with a great partner like Warner Brothers Discovery that treating us incredibly well in these negotiations right now. And it's a very complex negotiation. I mean, it's not as simple as shaking hands and slapping a couple numbers down on paper. There's a lot of things to figure out, and it's an exciting time for us to hopefully create some very new opportunities to grow AEW in exciting new ways and build on top of what we've really done over the past 5 years. Thanks for asking, Jason.
Thank you, Jason. Jim Barcelone from the Miami Herald is next, and I will follow Jim with a write-in from John Powell from Slam Wrestling. First, Jim.
Hey, thanks, everybody. This will be really exciting. AEW All In, London, always a hot crowd there, too. I'm curious because on the card, you have three matches focusing on women, and that's cool. And out of that, Dr. Britt Baker's back, and Mercedes Moniz had a timeless Tony Storm RMA, what they've been doing, Willow Nightingale, Chris Statlander. Camille, that's the one, a blue chipper. What are your thoughts of adding Camille to the roster and even her being a part of this?
Well, Camille's a great part of the roster in AEW now, and we love having Camille the Brick House here in AEW. She has been instrumental in Mercedes Moné's dominance since, you know, in particular this past month. And we've seen a lot of interactions with Camille and Dr. Britt Baker. We've seen a lot of interactions with Mercedes Moné and Dr. Britt Baker. It's an exciting time and exciting program. And, you know, Camille being involved here is great. And like you said, there's a lot of great things happening. And I'm really blessed to work with this great roster and the great team we have in AEW. And I feel really good about the shows. I've been really happy about each of those matches you named, and I think it's been a long time in the making. It's so excited about Timeless Toni Storm versus Mariah May to come to London, and a story that's been ripped straight from the West End, and a story that has come from the hills of Hollywood to here in London. This awesome opportunity for AEW to have this great AEW Women's World Championship match with Toni Storm and Mariah May, and tell this story. Timeless Toni Storm's rise since last year's AEW All In has been meteoric, and we've seen the evolution into Timeless Toni Storm, one of my personal favorite stars in all of wrestling, and somebody I really believe in, and her former protege, Mariah May. It's been a story a long time coming, and it's crazy to think how far it's come in a year, but it's something that I've thought about and wanted to see here at Wembley Stadium.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for Black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
I'm in this spot for over a year now and have thought and worked and planned with our great team. And then to have, like you said, it's tremendous to have Dr. Britt Baker and Mercedes Moné, two of the top stars, going one-on-one, to have the DMD versus the CEO for the TBS title. That's tremendous. And that, you know, AEW All In is the place for these huge dream matches. And that's a match I think a lot of fans have wanted to see for a long time. Two of the top rising stars in women's pro wrestling, Dr. Britt Baker, AEW's original homegrown star, taking on Mercedes Moné, one of the biggest free agent acquisitions ever for the TBS championship. When one of them is going to be the face of AEW on TBS going forward. And I'm so excited about the DMD versus the CEO for the TBS title. I think it's a huge match, and we've seen a lot of interest in it from everything on TV, Dynamite, Collision this past week, and also Comic-Con and outside of wrestling. So that's tremendous. And Willow and Chris Statlander have continued to build that rivalry. The former friends, we've seen a lot of great matches, and I'm excited for this, and we'll be excited to see two wrestlers with very little in common with either of them or with each other, and Tomohiro Ishii and Stokely Hathaway involved as well. It should be a great show. I'm really proud of what we're doing in AEW, top to bottom. The women and men in this company, all of them are doing a fantastic job, and the men and women here are going to put on a great show this weekend with AEW All In, top to bottom.
Thank you, Jim. Tony, here's a write-in from John Powell from Slam Wrestling, and then Amy Nemedy from WrestleJoy will follow. John's question is pretty simple. How proud are you at being able to highlight many UK talents during the show?
Well, that's a great question. I'm very proud. We have some top wrestlers in AEW who are from the UK and have competed extensively in the UK, and it's something I'm very proud of. You know, you want to have those homegrown stars. Just like in the Premier League, there's a league of top stars from all over the world competing in this elite sporting league, and you want to have the homegrown stars, and you want to have the top competition, the top stars that come from all over the world to play in the Premier League or wrestle in AEW. It's great to have the homegrown stars too. And here in London specifically, but also all around England and the UK, there's top wrestling and some of the most passionate, exciting wrestling fans. I've gone to wrestling shows all over England, and I love pro wrestling here, and it was great to have AEW make our debut in Wales last night as well. And it's great to be able to feature a lot of the great UK wrestlers on the AEW roster. And I think the fans, when we're wrestling, doing Dynamites, Collisions, Rampage, and pay-per-views, the large percentage of them take place across North America and US and Canada. And, you know, week in, week out, you still see top UK wrestlers on the show. And then when we come here to Europe and wrestle in the UK, there's so much excitement when AEW's in town or just in the country. And I think, you know, it really speaks to how great our homegrown wrestlers are and our international talent. And that's a real point of pride for AEW, absolutely, especially when we're here in London and here in the UK. Thanks for asking.
Thank you very much, John. Amy Nemedy from WrestleJoy is next, to be followed by Mark O'Brien from Body Slam and Irish Wrestling Entertainment. Amy.
Hello, Tony. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hello? I'm here. Hey, Amy. Hey.
Sorry, I just wanted to make sure. Hey. Hi. So you had mentioned earlier about being a promoter and a historian and a creative mind in wrestling. And to that end, I'd actually really like to dive in a little bit more on Timeless Toni Storm and Mariah May. So this is one of the most anticipated matches on the card. This storyline has become perhaps arguably the greatest women's storyline of all time, and certainly one of the best in professional wrestling, captivating fans all over the world. You've drawn parallels with golden era Hollywood movies such as All About Eve, Sunset Boulevard, Baby Jane, among others. Last year at All In, this story really began taking shape with Toni Storm as she started coming out to that black and white movie reel for her entrance. And Mariah May made her debut just a couple of months later. As we begin to look forward to what could maybe be heading to the final curtain call, can you talk about the process of bringing the story to Wembley, and has it shaped how you've been developing memorable storylines in AEW across the board? Thank you.
Thank you for asking. It's personally, for me, one of my favorite things I've ever worked on. I think so much of Timeless Toni Storm and Mariah May, and I think that they're going to have a great match. I loved the pairing and working with them, and it's something I'm really proud of. And when it came time, when that fateful day happened for Mariah to flip the switch and make the turn, I thought it was one of the greatest moments ever in AEW and one of my favorite wrestling moments when Mariah turned on Toni at the culmination of the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. And for their match to happen on this huge stage, the biggest stage in AEW, and this grand pro wrestling stage, Wembley Stadium, the sporting mecca, I just think it's perfect, and it's the perfect city for the rivalry to culminate in too, as one of the world's capitals of the arts. And that's what this story is inspired by. And I love those films. Sunset Boulevard I saw many, many years ago and was a classic. And All About Eve I saw when I first started living in LA. It was a movie that a friend recommended to me about 10 years ago. And I watched it before I had a house in LA. I was staying in the London, ironically, in the London West Hollywood, actually. And very fittingly. And waiting for to move into a house. And then, many years later, obviously, with AEW, and we were backstage. I can't remember what city I was in, but it was at a Dynamite. And I was talking to Toni Storm, and I told Toni Storm that I saw something here, and there was an opportunity to create a new character. And it's something that I thought was her. And the best wrestling characters are when you see something in a wrestler and you turn it up and you go past the 10 on the dial, like in Spinal Tap, try to go to 11 with that thing and really show the fans that side. And to me, Toni Storm is this just classic personality. And I think she's so elegant and brilliant and articulate, yet she's this tough lady. And she reminds me a lot of Bette Davis in All About Eve. She's much younger, but the idea of having this real hardened veteran who is just so classy and bigger than life. And to me, that star of the screen in that forgotten black and white era, that's Timeless Toni Storm, who's timeless. And it could be in any era, but she captures that elegance and that essence. And so that's what I saw Toni Storm's character really changing. And this was over a year ago. This was like last summer, probably early. Actually, I think it was right after Double or Nothing. And I started to think about, because it was all one story, and not only for Toni that I saw this progression, but an opportunity to do something and tell a bigger story. And Mariah is the counterpoint in that story. And it was right after Double or Nothing last year when I first reached out to Mariah to come to AEW. And she was very eager to be a part of it, not only AEW, but to work in such an exciting story. And there were parts of it that I don't think anybody that, necessarily everybody's watched all the films that I was talking about or all the references. So I started working on this and this idea of building this partnership and this mentorship and really introducing Mariah, but then getting the act where They became an indispensable part of AEW television and really inseparable, where you saw Tony Storm, you saw Mariah May and Luther. And, you know, he's an important part of the story, too. And he's been at Tony's side the whole time. And when you look back at when Mariah debuted, I put Luther in right around the same time by design. And I had not only because he bears some similarities to Norma Desmond's husband in Sunset Boulevard. Sorry for the. Norma Desmond's butler in Sunset Boulevard. Spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen it, it's been, you know, it's been like 70 years. So, I can't say spoiler alert at this point, but, yes. So, I think, it's, really, really, been a great thing working with them and introducing the references and the stories. But then another person along the way who, you know, it's like if you're coaching a team, you can't coach a football team by yourself. You can't coach a basketball. You need great coaches that are going to do a lot of work and they're philosophically similar. And there are some people I work with on some programs and ideas that are good coaches and, you know, that people that I can put with me, good assistant coaches, good right-hand people that, you know, in any sport you need, including wrestling. And in this case, there were not a lot of people. There were not a lot of women and men that had all the references and understood what I was talking about. And probably for these kinds of references and things and tying it to wrestling, the person I knew who actually I hadn't really ever worked on any stories with and wasn't really doing that for us at that point was RJ City, who's probably one of the more articulate and well-read and certainly about the cinema. One of the best people you'll find around wrestling, certainly. And, you know, if I was talking about old movies and stuff, that would be who I went to. So I went to him and told him, I have this big idea. I think I can do this. I have Tony, Mariah, Luther. I have all the pieces. But, you know, week to week, I need somebody to come in and really be my right hand and deal with a lot of the ideas and help me with the writing and help me, tie my vision for this together. And he's been tremendous. And the thing is, what's made it all work is it played to everybody's strengths. And this is timeless. Tony Storm is Tony. Like, she's just absolutely this for somebody at her young, very young age. It's incredible to have somebody so well-traveled and brilliant. I really love working with Tony. And I think that timeless Tony Storm is larger than life. And that's like her, that's what she is. And then Mariah introducing a new star to the American television audience, it's not necessarily how we always do it the way we did it. A lot of times we debut people off of their indie gimmick or their gimmick internationally they've done, or we bring in a wrestler from overseas or another company and try to do a presentation like of what they've done in wrestling. And in this case, it was not Mariah's presentation she was doing in wrestling. It was something totally different. And I think she at first probably was wondering why I wanted to do that. But then when you see the story and the plan, it makes sense. And, you know, most people come in to AEW historically, a lot of times we'll bring people in and they do what the fans have seen. If they came from Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, or were a lucha star, typically we've done things like that. That's what I think makes it even more interesting when you introduce a new character that's completely different from what they've done before. It might mean, frankly, that I have a big plan for somebody like Mariah May or Hologram, in fact. And in Mariah's case, to come back here to London and, like I said, one of the world's leading capitals of the arts and entertainment and also pro wrestling and also her hometown, and for the protege to step out of the shadow of the mentor in such a, really memorable, indelible way in pro wrestling when Mariah turned on Tony, I think it's very fitting that they have the match here on this grand stage at Wembley Stadium this Sunday, just hours from now, really, at AEW All In. It's been a long time coming, and it's also been one of my favorite things I've ever been able to work on. So credit to everybody involved and to the fans who have really supported it and believe in it. Thank you.
Thanks, Amy. Mark O'Brien from Body Slam and Irish Wrestling Entertainment is next, to be followed by Ella J, who has a writing question. Ella's from A Wrestling Gal. Mark?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Tony. Listen, thank you very much for having me on. Firstly, I want to say congratulations. This is 2 years in a row. You've sold more than 50,000 tickets in Wembley. I'm not sure people on the call will fully appreciate This time of year, all the football teams are back. This is the UK bank holiday. All the kids are going back to school. Incredible achievement. I wanted to ask you, what did it mean to you personally? This is following on from last year, where there was so many more additional programs and so many more additional pay-per-views being programmed this year across Europe, across the UK. How big of an achievement is it this year to surpass that 50,000 number mark once more? Thank you.
That's tremendous. And we can do even more. It's going to be a great go-home week. And I expect a great closeout. We had a huge closeout last year that was beyond everybody's expectations. And I expect we can continue to do that. And that's what AEW has been doing since the beginning. We've been defying the odds. We've been doing things that have been unprecedented in wrestling, and we'll continue to do that. It's an exciting time to bring that up as we are embarking on exciting times with this new media rights deal that's going to bring new, exciting things to our fans that I'm excited about. And the biggest thing that we have to look forward to is what's just hours away, the huge event, AEW All In. And for fans all over Europe, for anybody who can make it to London this Sunday, I promise you, you're going to want to be there in person. If you can't be there, it's worth the early start on pay-per-view for all the fans in the U.S. It's an NFL-style kickoff. It's like 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. It's NFL hasn't kicked off the regular season yet, but we are all used to that kickoff time, and I think it'll be worth the pay-per-view for everybody who buys it. It's such a great event. And I think that's why it's been able to draw huge audience for the second year in a row, and will continue, I believe, next year and for many years going forward with AEW All In being this massive platform and great success. And it's a huge credit to everybody in AEW that's involved in that, and also to our fans that just keep turning out and supporting us. And here in London and all the fans coming in from all over Europe and all over the world for this event, it's really proven to us that we made the right choice coming back here. I'm very excited about this event, and this is my favorite place in the world where I am right now, and it's great to be here and excited to bring the best of AEW here to Wembley Stadium in London.
Thank you very much, Mark. Tony, I got to write in here from Ella J from Wrestling Gal, and then we'll follow from with Riccacino from Sports Illustrated. Ella's got a question regarding one of the big stars of many stars this weekend, Bryan Danielson. And she says that he's had quite a storied career spanning 25 years. What do you think his legacy is in regard to All Elite Wrestling?
What a great question. I think Bryan Danielson has come here, and the 3 years he spent with us since his arrival have been a very important chapter in a career that to me is start to finish one of the greatest careers ever in wrestling. I put Bryan Danielson as one of my personal favorite wrestlers ever, and somebody who I have so much respect for, who's built an audience worldwide and had people supporting him before he ever really had that huge international television platform. He was already known and established. And I don't think there's anybody that would work harder or is more respected by their peers. And that's why it's an honor to work with him backstage. It's an honor to work with him offsite, and especially whenever Bryan Danielson is at a wrestling show, and especially when Bryan Danielson's in the ring or around the ring. We're all very blessed to have him. He's been a captain of this team in AEW, and as he approaches the final countdown this Sunday, as we're going into what could be the final match of Bryan Danielson's entire wrestling career just hours from now, certainly I've spent a lot of time reflecting on it. I thought we put together an excellent video package highlighting a lot of Bryan's career, including so many things outside of AEW and before AEW was even a possibility. And for decades, he's been doing it at the highest level. I think there's even more of an emotional component, because for so many of us who love Bryan and believe in him and are fans of him, like I am and I do, I think we all feel like we're living on free time. Like this is all bonus balls for us, right? Because we all thought he was gone a long time ago. And then he came back. And now it's all gravy. It's like everything he's done has been building on top of this great legacy that for a lot of us, we thought in terms of wrestling matches was probably over a long time ago. And what he's been able to come back and do and be, in my opinion, better than ever and have the run that I think you can hold up against everything he's done and say that it's been the best and that this is the best Bryan Danielson. I'm very proud of that. And up to this point, he's continued to excel. He's continued to amaze, but the person he's wrestling this Sunday is a great, great world champion in Swerve Strickland. And we've seen Swerve Strickland. This is his time and Wembley Stadium will be his house. And Swerve has had this dominant year. And in the past year, ever since last year's AEW All In, he's been wrestling at the very highest level. He's beaten everyone he's faced effectively and has continued to knock down people at the very top of the business and also had great matches in the process. Some of the best we've ever had in AEW. And that's something the two wrestlers have in common. They both wrestled at the highest level and they both had some of the best matches we've ever had in AEW. And the stakes, the highest possible, title versus career, to have a great champion putting the championship up against this great career and to have it be at Wembley Stadium and have this massive crowd and the promise of the drama and the action. And for a lot of us, what we know is going to be a great match and has been a great story on television. I'm very excited for that. So, you know, it's been a great chapter in AEW's history. And I also think it's been a great chapter in Bryan Danielson's career. And I'm really looking forward to AEW All In and the final countdown for Bryan. Thank you.
Thank you, Ella. Rick Aquino from Sports Illustrated is next, to be followed by Lyric Swinton from Blavity. Rick?
Thanks for doing this as always.
Thank you.
So really looking forward to the show this weekend. I do want to ask about somebody who's not currently booked for the show. I mean, obviously, they're safe to assume there's going to be a few surprises in that casino gauntlet, so maybe he's there. But there has been a lot of online chatter this week regarding Ricky Starks, even some comments that he may no longer be under contract with AEW. I'm just hoping maybe you can clear some things up. Is there anything definitive you can tell us regarding Ricky's AEW status and when we might see him on TV again?
Well, Ricky's been a great star in AEW. He's been a champion here and has had great matches here. And I think very highly of Ricky. He's somebody that has been here for several years and he's under contract in AEW. He's a well-regarded wrestler here in AEW.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony.
Let's go to Lyric Swinton from Blavity and we'll follow Lyric with Stephanie Chase from Stephanie Chase on Wrestling. Lyric? Lyric, are you with us?
No, he lost his audio. We probably need to come back to him.
Oh, we lost her? Okay, this is she.
Okay.
We can get Lyric. We can get her back. Okay. Well, if Lyric comes back, we'll get her question in, and we can get her another link or something maybe.
Yeah, let's try Stephanie Chase next, and then we'll try Lyric after Stephanie. Stephanie, you there?
Jim and Robin, we keep missing these good questions.
No, here's Stephanie.
Oh, good.
Sorry. I'm running to get the train. Some UK fans were disappointed that Dynamite didn't air live last night in the UK and then was delayed on Thriller. was there any effort to make Dynamite Live in the UK last night, and what prevented it?
It's not legal for me to put the show on live in the UK before I put it on to the people that pay 97% of the TV rights fees here in Warner Brothers Discovery. I think they have earned the first right of airing the show, and they have the legal first right to air the show. And I can't put Dynamite on anywhere before it airs on TBS and TNT, nor should I, because I think TBS and TNT have been a great home to us. I think Fight has had, at times some issues in the stream of the show. I would love to do the show at some point, if possible, on ITV put the show ideally on at the same time as it's on TBS and TNT. I just can't jumpstart, if it makes sense, our primary media partner, because, like, let's face it, in pro wrestling right now, those TV rights are a huge, huge component of the business, and it really drives a lot of the revenue, along with huge tentpole events like this one, right? AEW All In. So I guess, Stephanie, what I would say is probably for the live solution, obviously we had a great live crowd, ideally what I'd like to be able to do is simulcast it, but that would still be very late here. That's like a 1 a.m. start. It's not ideal. So I think for the streaming, this is an option. Obviously, there are people that stay up and watch wrestling live at a 1 a.m. start time. I know I have been one of them. I lived in England, and I would watch wrestling late at night before work and after work and between shifts a lot. And, I'm a wrestling fan who's lived in England a lot, too. So I do appreciate what you're saying, Stephanie, that people would like to see that live. But it's a big step for us to bring the whole company over here, to travel everyone over, because we want to do the very best possible event we can in the UK with AEW All In, and also do great TV for the first time we've ever done UK TV here in Cardiff. That was a very exciting thing, but there are obstacles to putting it on live, but obviously everybody will be able to watch AEW All In live, either in person this Sunday at Wembley Stadium or on pay-per-view. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Lyric Swinton from Blavity. We're going to try Lyric again, and then on deck will be Chris Mueller from Bleacher Report. Lyric, sounds like we've got you.
Yes, I'm sorry about that. Hello, Tony. So last week we saw, with the introduction of All In Texas, there was a powerful image there. You had three black stars in Ring of Honor Women's World Champion Athena, TBS Champion Mercedes Moné, as well as AEW World Champion Swerve Strickland being at the forefront of that announcement, especially since Athena has been off AEW television in recent years on her historic reign in Ring of Honor. Talk about the importance of having those three stars at the forefront when announcing an event as historic as the first AEW U.S. Stadium show at All In Texas.
Well, it's a great question. To me, you want to have the greatest stars, the top champions, and the biggest names in the company, and those are some of the great stars. And it was a big deal to have the AEW World Champion Swerve Strickland, the ROH Women's World Champion Athena, and of course, CEO, the TBS champion, the face of our home network. And it was great to have Mercedes Moné there. And, we have these three great champions, and there were a lot of great stars top to bottom. They represented a great group that was a tremendous, tremendous way to kick off that press conference. We had a lot of stars top to bottom, and those are three of the really great ones, and they were part of that featured group. And there you have, not only three great champions, three great stars, but I think three great pro wrestlers and three great representatives for AEW and ROH, and in particular what we're doing with AEW in Texas. But thanks for asking. It was obviously very cool, and a great photo with Swerve and Mercedes Moné and Athena all together. That's great. Jim, are you there?
I apologize. Chris Mueller from Bleacher Report is next, to be followed by Connor Devlin from the Westmeath Examiner. Chris.
Camille coming in, and you also mentioned the Von Erichs. And I'm curious, do you have a maximum roster size in mind when you're hiring these new talents? And how do you balance which talents you want to feature on a show as big as All In?
That's a great question. I think it is primarily people that have been wrestling on television. It's a culmination of a lot of the biggest stories, just some big examples of some of the big matches on the show. When you look top to bottom, I think you see great things that have been happening across AEW's television. And so there is a lot of selection bias there. It's definitely a lot of the people featured on TV, the matches, the rivalries, relationships, and these big matches coming up at AEW All In, you see all that. But also, I think we're trying to bring in what I believe are the top stars from all over the world to AEW. And as far as the right roster size, it's a great question. It's certainly grown, but so has AEW. You know, what we do across AEW with 5 hours of television every week now, 52 weeks a year, we definitely needed a bigger roster than we did originally when we were doing 2 hours. You know, that's a two and a half times the amount of shows, and we've added a lot more people because we're doing, you know, effectively 250% more content than we were at the start of this thing, you know, in terms of TV. So for us, it's been really great, I think, expanding this year and having some of these huge free agents come in, and you're seeing them across this card. And a couple of the biggest name free agents in particular, with Will Ospreay challenging versus MJF, one of the biggest stars in AEW, to have your big new free agent in his home country on the national sporting ground at Wembley Stadium this Sunday, just really hours from now, and to have Will Ospreay, the former international champion, taking on the hated American champion, MJF, one of AEW's original stars. And when you have a great match like that, it's so great to be able to bring in a top free agent and have them really wrestling at the top of the company and put them in a rivalry with one of the greatest homegrown stars and these two huge names. That's a dream match on pay-per-view, and the match they already had that was, you know, 59 minutes and about 58 and a half seconds. That was one of the greatest things we've ever had on television. I don't take it for granted when people go out there and wrestle for roughly an hour at the highest level. That was phenomenal. And we get to see Ospreay versus MJF bringing it on pay-per-view at Wembley Stadium this weekend. I can't wait for MJF versus Ospreay to see, again, one of the great homegrown stars of AEW and an American star versus a top free agent signing who we brought in, somebody that we've scouted and not somebody I've known and watched since before we even launched AEW. And to have Will come in here and challenge MJF, that's a big deal. And you have a big free agent signing like Mercedes Moné, who's come in, become the TBS champion, been featured across AEW TV, and taking on, again, a top homegrown star, somebody that was there from the very beginning, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. And that's a huge match. And to have the DMD versus the CEO for the TBS title at AEW All In this Sunday, that's awesome. And these are, to me, exciting matches, exciting rivalries, and they've been great stories on television. And if you're watching the shows, I think less and less people are saying that about, you know, they want to see more stories because there's so much story on the show. And I think if you're really watching it, the people paying attention have seen that. And it's been really something that we've gotten so much positive feedback on, how great the flow has been on our shows, especially Forbidden Door. It's gotten even stronger as we built towards AEW All In. Our track record this year on pay-per-view, I think, is spotless. It's flawless. We've had top to bottom our best of pay-per-views ever this year. And to come here with this card in this setting, it feels like it's set up for us to come in and have a huge success story with AEW All In this Sunday, and I'm really excited about it. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Chris. Connor Devlin from the Westmeath Examiner is next, and Connor will be followed by Aruna Ghoshal from Sportskeeda. Connor?
For the Sunday, and I just wanted to know, should we expect any returns or debuts maybe for the Gauntlet match on Sunday?
Well, it's going to be a great match. As we know, the number one participant, the first person coming to the ring, is the former international champion, Orange Cassidy. And Orange Cassidy has never been a world champion in AEW, but it's something that I think everybody would be interested to see. And you know who the first person in the match is. You've heard some of the big names clamoring to get in the match. Of course, you can expect some of those big names lined up. But the crazy thing about this match is you never know when it's going to end. It could end at any time. It's sudden death. So you know Orange Cassidy and one other great star are going to start this match out. And you know that I'm going to keep sending stars out. It's a randomly drawn entry and at different intervals. And that's what makes the match so exciting. And it's, in my opinion, it's one of the best new matches to come into pro wrestling in a very long time. And I've been able to bring it just this year to two of my hometowns and two of my favorite matches I've ever been able to work on with so many great wrestlers, and to have the Casino Gauntlet match in Daly's Place in Jacksonville for the shot at the international title, and to have the Casino Gauntlet match at the Forum in LA for the shot at the world title, and now to have this Casino Gauntlet match for an AEW world title shot at All In this weekend at Wembley Stadium. These are my home buildings and my home cities. And to have my favorite match and something that I invented in Daly's Place out of necessity and is probably, like I said, my favorite match idea I've ever had. And it came to me in our old Daly's Place office where there's a lot of magic. I think I probably should sometimes think about moving my office down to just work out of Daly's Place and in to the facility down the street. I absolutely love it, and it's a great match, and it's gonna be very exciting. There'll be great wrestlers in the match, and there's a lot to look forward to in the Casino Gauntlet and top to bottom on AEW All In. But the only thing that's for sure is Orange Cassidy's number one, and then there's going to be somebody else out there, and then this match could end at any time, so get ready.
Thanks, Connor. Aruna Ghoshal from Sportskeeda is next, to be followed by Luke Lewis from the Newport City Radio there in the UK. Aruna?
Excited to see MJF excel again in a new character. If you could share with us your thoughts on how this character change came up, the backstage reaction, how MJF has been involved in the process. That's it.
It's a great question. I think this new iteration of MJF is not my favorite person. He had some very not kind things to say about me on TV, but that's okay. And I think MJF is a great wrestler and a huge star and big box office attraction. And we've seen his true colors. I think that MJF was enjoying the adulation of the fans. And then when the fans maybe questioned him and his friendships fell apart for the first time, maybe we were getting a look at a different MJF last year. But I think he was not able to maintain that level of kindness, that level of humility, and that kind of person that he was trying to be. He couldn't sustain it, and this is what he is at the end of the day. At least this is his dominant nature, and it's a different presentation. It's a different MJF, but it's MJF at his very best, and I can't tell you how many people have come up to me in different walks of life, different places, whether it's the gym or Hollywood offices and charity dinners, but people coming up to me and saying, like, I'm really glad MJF is a bad guy, and I like seeing MJF like as a real asshole, and that's what he is, and that's what. So I get that everywhere I go, and people bring it up to me all the time. Even my dad said it to me, like, you know, and that's probably the highest demographic you're going to get in terms of the quality of their feedback and their spending power. So I think it's been great for AEW having MJF back. And he's a great American champion, frankly, and it's going to be an interesting international title or an American title match, however it comes out, with Ospreay versus MJF at Wembley Stadium. I'm really excited for this weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, Rudava. We've got time for probably Luke Lewis, and I think that's going to have to wrap it up. We're almost here at the hour. So Luke Lewis from Newport City Radio, you get to bring us home.
Hiya, Tony. Thanks for taking the time to obviously talk to us tonight. As you just heard, Luke Lewis from Newport City Radio here in Wales. Great show last night. Obviously, you've announced All In for next year is going to be in Texas. But when you come back in 2026, has already been announced, will that be in London? Or could we potentially see, following the success of last night's show at the Utility Arena in Cardiff, could we potentially see All In come to Wales, go to the Principality Stadium, the Cardiff City Stadium, maybe from Rugby Parade down here in Newport? I had to get that in. Thank you very much, Tony.
It's a great question. We had a great debut in Cardiff last night, but London is a home to me and a home to AEW, so there will always be an AEW presence in London. I'll always bring big AEW events here to London, my hometown here in the UK, but I also love this country, and I, like I said, I've driven up and down and across to most of the football grounds, and I absolutely love this place. And I know there's so many great cities across England and Wales and all over the UK. And, you know, so far we've only done AEW in England and London and in Wales and Cardiff, but there are great opportunities in cities. But I can promise you, next year, 2026, I'm never going to forget London. London's always going to be a big part of our plans, and AEW in London is really important to us. All over the UK. That was a great debut last night. Believe me, I think there's a lot of opportunities across the UK, but I'll never stray from London. We're always going to want to come back and bring AEW here to London. That's why we're so excited about this weekend. It's just one of the greatest places for anybody, any sport, but to me personally, this is a real home, and I just love being here. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Luke. Tony, any closing thoughts before we close today's press event and look forward to seeing you on Sunday? Any final thoughts?
Well, no, it's great. This has been, love this, Jim. It's fantastic. It's our biggest event in this great place. I've spent a lot of time in London with you, Jim, and you know this energy and what a great place this is firsthand. And it's just a magical time. And it's also a different time of day for me than I'm used to with these. I'm used to talking to all of you in the afternoon for my circadian rhythms and doing it here on UK time. This is for the, you know, the rare time that our all media call cuts into my dinner. So I'm going to go across the street to places I've been with you many times, Jim, and I'm going to get some food. Yes. And I really appreciate all of you supporting us, supporting AEW. This has been fantastic. Thank you, Jim and Robin, and the whole staff, and Danny, and the whole media team, and everybody that made this possible. And I can't wait to see all of you in person this weekend for everybody coming to Wembley Stadium. If you can't come to Wembley, please check out this pay-per-view. It's going to be a great show, and it's just hours away. This is going to be a great wrestling weekend and a great bank holiday over here in London.
All right. Thank you, Tony, and thank you, everyone. It is a little bit after 9 o'clock where Tony is, so we're going to call tonight. But as always, we will be distributing an audio recording to all attendees shortly. And from everyone at AEW, I'm just going to echo Tony our deepest thanks, not only for today, but for the past 5+ years. What an amazing ride. So we hope to see you at Wembley Stadium or perhaps even Craven Cottage this weekend in London. But if not, do join us for the pay-per-view on Sunday morning or afternoon, wherever you're maybe watching from in the United States. Best wishes, everyone. And once again, thanks for joining us today with Tony.